Welcome to the Seeing Through the Numbers podcast. My name is Amanda Fisher, the Cashflow Queen, and author of Unscramble Your Numbers. Welcome to episode 3 of the Seeing Through the Numbers podcast. Today I'm talking to Paul Rose from Waddle about small business finance and very specific finance. So welcome to the podcast, Paul.
Thanks, Amanda. Thanks for having me.
Now, tell me a little bit about yourself and Waddle. And I'm really interested to hear about why the name Waddle.
It's a great question. I don't unfortunately have a great answer for it as yet. So myself, I guess I'm head up the sales team here at Waddle, and we focus on a receivables backed line of credit. And the name Waddle, is something that's catchy, and we, I guess, trying to separate ourselves from the traditional financiers. You know, we didn't want to go for a big grandioso name. We wanted something simple and catchy, something people would remember.
Right. Okay. Because I've been looking at it and trying to work out, is there a hidden meaning behind it? some combination of letters or something that have come together, or
It's a bit like Apple upside down, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you look at it.
Well, that. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I'll take that one. That sounds good.
It's a very common question, and I guess introducing ourselves, people think we're actually Waddle. But we don't do paints. We do finance. So, but we've probably got a few leads now for Waddle.
Well, there we go. That's a different option. So, let's stick to finance. I think I'm not very good at the paint department.
No.
Now, one of the things that I find is that business owners get very confused about what kind of funding is available to them. And I know that what Waddle does is very specific. So tell me. And I think we've talked before about potentially sort of there's debtor finance, there's invoice finance, there's these different kind of terms, etc. Can you just explain what it is without talking about what Waddle itself, but what is the sort of invoice finance? How would you explain that?
Yeah, I guess I'll start from. I guess a linear time perspective. Factoring, if you like, was the original product, and it dates back over 4,000 years now, where you'd sell, you know, on the Silk Road, they'll be selling an invoice to a third party, just to get those funds up front instead of waiting there 30, 60 days, whatever the agreed payment terms were.
Wow, it goes back that far, doesn't it?
Yeah, it goes back. And factoring is, I guess, where everything, all this type of lending has originated from, and that is selling an invoice to a third party for a discounted rate or a factor, if you like.
Right.
It's especially in Australia, I guess, it has a bit of a negative connotation as being expensive or the last resort type financing, but particularly in the last, I guess, 40 or 50 years, factoring hasn't been so prevalent. It still exists for very high risk invoices, if you like. And it's a necessary evil. So if you've got an opportunity to grow, but you can't fund it, then it's worth paying a little bit extra for.
Yeah, I remember having a client some years ago now that did have a factoring facility, and it was expensive. And it was very, very complicated to manage and to run. And there were, I think the bank used to come in every couple of months and do an audit on it. And it was just, it was really, really time consuming, very complex and complicated. And I guess, I mean, that was back before we had much easier accounting systems and things to operate with. So, you know, we are talking the older desktop, server-based kind of accounting systems. But I just remember it being really, really complicated, and it is always seemed to me to be overly complicated when it didn't need to be. I think that was always the thing that really surprised me about it. It just seemed to have been made complicated when perhaps it didn't need to be.
Yeah, look, it is complicated traditionally, because, you know, we didn't have technology. Obviously, your lender there is trying to collect your bills and potentially damaging relationships with your debtors. You know, there's a whole lot of, I guess, contributing factors to why it doesn't work for most businesses, and most businesses will not look at the traditional factoring model. But after factoring, I guess there became the invoice financing mob, and that's what I guess banks do for larger companies still, and that basically involves, you know, funding your whole ledger, if you like, which is you know, effectively a bank or a non-bank lender will take a small portion of each, or a small cut of each invoice you raise, your total turnover, and fund 80% of your ledger up front. So that's known as, a full ledger debtor finance facility. But now I think we've brought this type of lending into the modern era. What we do is more akin to a line of credit or a bank overdraft, and secured against your accounts receivable ledger in your cloud accounting platform. So like you said earlier, it was very complicated and laborious. Now we've automated everything, so you can just draw down funds and reconcile payments as usual. There's no extra administration, which is fantastic.
Right. So it's no longer also the situation where, you know, the bank kind of thing is collecting the money on your behalf now. So we've eliminated that whole step.
Exactly. So what'll do and a few other lenders out there is fully confidential. So our clients' clients or debtors do not know that Waddle exists. Effectively, they draw down funds that are secured against their outstanding ledger in Xero or MYOB or QuickBooks. And those payments, when they are paid, pay down any balance they have with Waddle. And if they don't have any balance with Waddle, the payments actually go back to the client directly. So that's all automated through their cloud accounting platform now. And it not only is it, automated, it's very low cost relevant to how it used to be as well.
Right. So is there do we need a separate bank account then for the money to go into, or does the money just go into the normal, you know, business's bank account as per usual?
Yeah, good question. So when a new client comes with Waddle, we nominate a new Westpac bank account for that client. And what they are required to do is the debtors they wish to add to their funding base are required to pay into that Waddle bank account, which, like I said, is confidential. It's just a change of BSB and account number on the invoices. Exactly. That pays down the credit line. So there's no fixed repayments per se, which I think assists with your cash flow.
Yeah. And so in terms of that Westpac bank account, then if there is surplus money in the account, is that just operated like a normal bank account, or do they then need to kind of transfer money out of that back into their regular bank account?
No, we do that automatically. So if, for example, the client owes Waddle $100 and a $200 payment comes into that Waddle account, pays down your Waddle balance to zero, and any excess money, is that extra $100, is then swept back to your nominated normal transaction account.
So it's automatically done. You don't have to do that either.
Exactly right. All you've got to do is request funds and raise invoices.
Wow, so you just get on and do your work.
Yeah, do what you're good at, and we'll take care of the rest.
Perfect. So when is the right time for a business to seek this kind of finance? Is this something that's worth doing, you know, sort of, is this, again, something of sort of last resort? I'm in trouble now, I better find out how I can sort myself out, or is this something that's worth just having anyway when you're within the business? How does that work from your side?
Good question. So this type of lending doesn't suit everyone, and we certainly are very industry focused. You know, it's obviously best, Amanda, you're an expert at cash flow, that you collect your payments as soon as possible. But the trouble is, if you're I guess supplying Woolworths or IGA or Coles, etc., they will tell you the payment terms, and usually that's 30 or 60 days from end of month. So if you're a growing company and you have 30-day payment terms, it really compounds your cash flow issue. So you need someone like Waddle to fund your growth, if you like. So when we see most clients come with us, is generally when they've signed a new big contract. Let's say a labor hire company is now, you know, supplying labor to a big BHP or something like this, or a wholesaler. You know, they've just signed a contract with Woolworths to go national. You know, that all of a sudden they've doubled their demand, and they need to somehow pay their suppliers. So that's when they need an injection of funding. And the good thing about this type of funding is as your business grows, so does your credit line. So we grow with you.
Right. Okay. And so in terms of an application process, is that, you know, do we have to jump through 1,000 hoops and motions to get approval? How does that work?
We've automated that process also. So I guess I should touch on what's suitable, so what people can expect if they go to sign up. We generally... I guess our clients are made up of four or five key industries. So wholesale, manufacturing, recruitment or labor hire, logistics, and certain other business services suit this type of lending. And if you are in one of those industries, we 9 times out of 10, we are able to help you. And all it's involved is you go to our website, that's waddle.com.au, shameless plug, and you get started. Within a couple of clicks, you log into your cloud accounting platform through Waddle, and we get an automated term sheet or finance offer within a matter of minutes. Now, obviously, that's subject to a bit of a credit check in the background, and we might request some supporting documents, but it's very light touch compared to how it used to be, definitely.
Right. So Waddle actually effectively talks to and interacts with the cloud accounting package.
Exactly. And that's an ongoing sync, you know, throughout the life of the client. We leverage that data in the cloud accounting platform, so you don't have to mirror it. So we use it for your credit checking process. We can see your accounts receivable ledger. We can tell you what funds you'd have available, what your interest rate would be. And as you borrow funds as well, ongoing process, as you raise new invoices, you have more funds available. And as you receive payments, reconcile invoices, your funds available comes back down again. So every 15 minutes it syncs, or every time you log into the dashboard. So you always know exactly where you are with your finances.
Okay. And so if someone's got some invoices that are outstanding, say, you know, they're over 90 days, maybe they're, you know, 3-4 months old at the time they, you know, apply and start to say, hey, I need some help.
Yep.
Are they still invoices that would get paid on, or is there a time kind of factor where it's, you know what, once it's over a certain period, if it hasn't been recovered, then no, we're not giving you money on it?
Yeah. So invoices are fundable from 0 to 90 days with our model.
Okay.
Outside of 90 days, it's just, I guess that's not agreed payment terms. That's classified as bad debt. And we certainly are not in the game of chasing bad debt. We're in the game of funding, I guess, growing businesses who unfortunately are on payment terms. What we can do, though, is disallow debtors, which just means we turn them off and they're not added to your funding base, and there's no negative repercussions. So if you do have one or two bad debtors that the payments have aged, we can just remove them from your borrowing ledger. That's fine.
Right, and that's something that's obviously easily done at the back. So in terms of assessing funding, then I guess those are the sorts of things you're looking for, are there some clients, customers of the client that are, you know, way outside of payment terms and you're not going to fund? Is there anything else that you're looking at? Obviously, you've got access to the accounting file, so you can see whether or not business is profitable, those types of things. Are you looking at that as well?
We primarily will look at the quality of the debt. Sorry, so the quality, yep, of the invoices, how due and payable they are. So I mentioned wholesale before. So effectively, if you're delivering your muesli bar and then raising an invoice once it's delivered, that invoice is good, it's solid, it's payable. If you were delivering, a marketing project, and there's KPIs or there's ongoing invoices, say you've invoiced for this month, that invoice is then dependent on the next month. It's called progressive invoicing. That's a very risky invoice, and that's something we don't look at. So the quality of the invoice is the first thing we'll look at. Obviously, the prospect needs to be a healthy business, as in, I guess the tax debt can't be triple what their turnover is, because we don't see a future for that company, unfortunately. So, yeah, it's a case by case thing. I can't blanket statement that. Yeah.
I was just curious on that one, and another curiosity also is, in terms of, are you looking at who the debtors are? So who are the customers? So like, for example, if it's any of the big corporates, yeah, tick, don't think about it. But is there anything there, is there any check going on with to see companies that maybe are getting bad financial, I'm thinking of like the old Dun & Bradstreet, credit reports where, you got a bad, if you actually checked, you'd find out that the client or customer is actually a bad payer and et cetera, et cetera. Is there anything within that they're looking at on that or any notifications that says, hey, I think this guy's a bit of a problem, you might need to, watch out and get that paid? Or
we don't run a thorough credit check on our clients' debtors. And we can see the history of trading. So if that looks good, then we're generally happy. But how we minimize risk is we won't fund just one single debtor. We require to see a spread of customers. So if we can see 4 or 5 customers with outstanding invoices, then, and we offer up to 80% of that total, as long as they don't all go bankrupt or don't all stop paying, then we're able to get our exposure back, if you like.
I guess one of the big things about this, and it's something that I know in talking to some of my clients over time, they've always said to me, but, I'm a small business. I don't have property or a mortgage to the hilt on my home, either one. I don't have any bricks and mortar security, and I know the banks won't touch me. Like, I can't even get an overdraft. They want, my house and my wife and the 2 dogs, So I guess the beauty of this is there is no bricks and mortar security, which purely talking about business and business operation and invoicing and them being, as you say, good invoices that are legitimate, due for payment, and with history from the clients, the customers, that showing that they do normally pay.
Yeah, that's a great point, Amanda. So we are unsecured that we don't need property. But if you do have outstanding invoices, they are regarded as security, or you should leverage that security, that asset you have, if you like, for a lower rate style funding. So compared to, I guess, an unsecured fixed term loan, something like Waddle is a much lower rate. And then the other end of the spectrum, obviously, like you mentioned, the proprietary limited company should stand on its own 2 feet. The director's personal assets should really be, safe, I think. A bank overdraft, for example, that would be a lower rate, generally speaking, than what Waddle would provide, but that would require some physical security to have that in place, generally speaking.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's where most people think, oh, I need an overdraft. And then, of course, the moment you talk to the bank, you discover that, oh, well, they want, the house and the kids and the dog as well.
Exactly.
Security for it, and so that's the end of where they go. So I think what you offer and similar businesses, I guess, to you, but what is offered there is an absolute boon for businesses that are doing well, growing, as you say, perhaps got a new big contract that does mean they've got some rather exponential growth that's happening very quickly to fund it and fund it at a reasonable cost without impacting personal assets and leaving it stand on the business on its own 2 feet, which is always a good thing to have too.
Exactly right. Yeah, you could sleep better at night that way, I think.
Well, exactly. And I think, you know, there's always that comment about, well, you know, people want, if you want to have someone invest in your business, they want to know you've got lots of skin in the game, i.e. you've borrowed up to the hilt, you've sold everything you possibly can, and, you know, everything's in your business. But I think that really, it really defeats the purpose of the business. The business should be able to stand on its own. Obviously, in early days, it probably won't. You'll need to support it in early days. But once it's up and running, it needs to be able to be operational on its own, pay its bills, have the cash flow rolling through it to keep it going, pay the suppliers, pay the wages, pay the rent, pay all the other bills, and pay the owners. That then, you know, the private living is a separate exercise and a separate set of cash flow in its own right.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Amanda, that we see a lot of business owners who they have to fund it at the start. They have no choice. And, you know, they have to take relatively expensive capital risks at the beginning. But once your company is mature enough and standing on its own two feet, then it makes sense to remove your personal assets out of that company and have it run by itself.
That's exactly right. And that's what I love about this kind of thing, because I think, you know, the old days of the banks pretty much having everything and everything cross-collateralized, and, you know, and then even when the business would stand on its own and got value, et cetera, the banks still say, no, we still want your home as security. And I just... Yeah, it grates on me, that, because I've certainly seen scenarios where the asset base is so significant and there's really no reason why the bank can't release the home out of it, and they won't.
I think the biggest challenge with the banks for small business, I mean, the banks are fantastic for large corporate companies because they make decisions and move at the same speed. What we find with small businesses is, you know, they need a credit line. They don't need it in 6 months. They need it now to grow. You know, the opportunity is now. And if you have to wait for 3 to 6 months to get something set up or change your facility limit or approve a debtor, it just doesn't suit small businesses. We're going at light speed relative to how the banks are operating.
Correct. And I think that's one of the things that I think we as small business people love, is that ability to move quickly, to see an opportunity, jump on it and be able to take it, while the bigger companies around us have to think about it and they're slower to move. In the meantime, we've jumped on the opportunity and, you know, made hay while the sun shines, so to speak. And we need that kind of nimble capability from a finance perspective around that at the same time. So, yeah, love it. I think that's absolutely fantastic. And I highly recommend for anybody that's got this kind of business that is growing, has a new contract or gets one, to really seriously think about how you're going to be funding it and look at this type of option, because I think, yeah, it really can make a massive difference to your cash flow and not a ridiculously high cost too, which I think is the bit that is often also the other scary bit for some people. It's,
yeah. Absolutely. Understanding, I guess, the rates are out there, especially in non-bank lenders, is a little bit confronting for small business owners who don't have a degree in finance. But we're fully transparent about that. And I guess we're trying to change our niche industry in that respect. What we actually do is populate for you in your Xero or Mile or QuickBooks or NetSuite. We actually populate the interest expense that you've incurred for the month. So you can see it as a dollar figure. It automatically goes on your profit and loss balance sheet. We're transparent about that. And the other thing on the pricing point is we're very dynamic in that we only charge for what you actually use. So we don't have any minimum costs or line fees. There's no administration fees or anything like that. We just charge rates, I should say, on what you actually choose to borrow from Waddle. And it's very simple to decipher what those rates are.
Yeah, that's perfect. I love that. Just moving away from all that fun and games on all that sort of thing, a couple of questions that are a little bit left field, perhaps. What is your favorite business app?
I think there'd be different answers for everyone in different roles here at Waddle. But for me, the CRM we've recently gone with, which is HubSpot, I hope I get some royalties for mentioning them, it is absolutely fantastic. It's just so intuitive. You know, I used to use Salesforce back 10 years ago when I was, a BDM with Vodafone. And it was like living in the dark ages. And I guess it's like akin to what we've done at Waddle, or the way the world's moving. It's just so much more intuitive and got all the information I need and none of the information I don't. And I'm really enjoying using HubSpot.
Okay, awesome. I have heard of it. I've not actually ever seen it in operation. I know another number of other CRMs, and I've worked my way through a few over the years. But I do know, I've heard of HubSpot probably 5 or 6 years ago. And so I'm interested to hear that, you're using that. That sounds fantastic. And if you were to recommend to our listeners one business book that has made an impact on you, what would it be?
Good one. So I'm actually just finished reading the biography of Elon Musk. I'm not exactly sure what the title is, but that's inspiring. I mean, I've read, Richard Branson's books, and he's obviously very much a maverick, and he's gone out there and he's done these things in the business world, which are fantastic. But I feel like Elon Musk is when you talk about skin in the game, he's gone to the next level, and he's actually changed the direction of humanity. You know, he's a big dreamer, which is inspiring, because I feel like everyone else might be dreaming a little bit small when you consider what he's done.
Yeah, and I think that is something actually that a lot of us are very guilty of, is we do think small, and it's something that I do hear from time to time around is, think bigger. Don't just think of your little local area. Think of Australia, think of the world. And just to finish up then, what is the one piece of advice you'd give to our listeners to help them with their cash flow?
Yeah, we love seeing clients get paid on time, absolutely. And I think, as much as you can automate the reminder process, etc., one of the key things is having a good relationship with your customers or your debtors. If you call your friend asking for money, you have a good relationship, they're far more likely to pay than if you just make it a cold business type transaction. So I'd leverage a friendly relationship with your customers. I think that's one of the key points.
What goes hand in hand with the good relationships is also setting the expectations and being really upfront about that right from the get-go. Our accounts are payable in 7 days.
Yeah, absolutely. Setting the expectation up front is very, very important. That's a good point. If you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. Everyone down the supply chain has cash flow issues as well. So they're trying to push out their payables and bring in their receivables, and it's an ongoing battle. So, be stringent from day one.
And that's right. Money makes the world go round, as they say, but money goes round and round in circles. And, yes, if somebody doesn't pay you, then you don't pay the next one, then they can't pay the next, and it's just this domino effect all the way through. So cash flow is such an integral part of running a business, of our lives generally. And thank you so much, Paul, for joining us on this show. For our listeners, details of Waddle will be in the show notes below this recording. And thank you again, Paul, for being on the show. It's been fantastic.
Thanks very much for having me, Amanda. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to the Seeing Through the Numbers podcast. Make sure you subscribe to get notifications of upcoming episodes so that you don't miss any. Looking forward to seeing you in the next episode.